Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hello and welcome to Elemental, a podcast from RNZ. I'm Professor Alan Blackman from Auckland University of Technology, and I am loving this year-long celebration of 150 years since the periodic table was first published by Russian chemist Dmitry Mendeleev.
And I'm Alison Balance, a science producer at RNZ, and I'm enjoying having my eyes opened to the world of chemistry. This is episode 12 of Elemental, which means we are up to boron. Now, let's get this out of the way, Alan. What's the boron story?
Well, the boron story is definitely not what you would call boring.
Oh, very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thought that one myself. Okay, and the vital statistics for this surprisingly useful element. Boron, chemical symbol B, just the one letter there. The atomic number 5 gets its name from the Arabic burak, which is the Arabic actually for borax, which is a compound of boron. And it was discovered in 1808. Amongst many other uses that we're going to document, boron actually has a really, really good New Zealand connection because the expat New Zealand chemist, Professor Chris Reed in California, has made the world's strongest acid. And that actually is a boron-containing compound which is based on a molecule called a carborane.
Strongest acid in the world, that makes boron sound really scary.
No, not at all, not at all. It's absolutely vital for life. It's nice and non-toxic to humans anyway. It's an essential element for plants, so fruits and vegetables require it. We use it in fertilizers a lot. Having said that, the fact that it's non-toxic to humans, it's actually quite toxic to insects, and so it gets used as an insecticide and also in things like wood treatment.
What actually is it?
Its place on the periodic table ranks it as a metalloid. Remember, we've talked about that. It's neither a metal nor a non-metal. It's sort of in between there. So it doesn't really occur in its elemental state in nature, but you've got an awful lot of minerals containing boron, so things like boric acid, borax, stuff like that. And how's this for not boring? It is produced by supernovae.
Oh, wow.
Now, I said it was first discovered in 1808, but compounds of this have been known for much longer than that. We go right back to sort of the early goldsmiths, and what they found was that if you added borax and boron compounds into gold, it lowered the melting point and made it easier to work. And Queen Elizabeth I used boron compounds as skin ointments.
I hope it wasn't one of those toxic face creams, though. You said it wasn't toxic, so she might have got away with that one, but probably not with some of the things she might have mixed it with. I don't think it's an ingredient in cosmetics anymore, so do I have it at home?
Indeed you do, especially in the kitchen. All your oven-proof cookware is made of a thing called borosilicate glass, so a mixture of boron and silicates. You also find that sort of glassware in chemistry labs, of course, dear to my heart. And you might also come across boron compounds in hospital. And this is a really interesting application of particular boron compounds, and this is called boron neutron capture therapy, or BNCT.
That trips off the tongue, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes, easily. And this works through taking a boron compound, placing it in the body, and then firing neutrons at it, as the name suggests, neutron capture. Now, boron is really good at capturing neutrons. And what happens when it does that is that it undergoes radioactive decay by spitting out an alpha particle. We've talked about alpha particles in previous episodes. They are very good at killing cells, and so therefore if you can locate this boron compound or these boron compounds close to cancerous cells, irradiate them with neutrons, then they start spitting out these alpha particles and hopefully killing those surrounding nasty cancer cells.
But most of the previous radioactive things we've talked about are actually on their own quite cancer-causing. Is that not the case with boron?
That's not the case with boron because it is not itself radioactive. So what you're doing is really sort of inducing a radioactive decay by hitting it with a neutron. So you can, you know, fill the patient full of these boron compounds and they're, you know, totally benign from the radioactive side of things.
So not boring, more benign. I like it.
So we mentioned that boron is formed in supernovae. So sort of a link to that is that back in the 50s and 60s, boron compounds were considered as potential rocket fuels. And these were a series of compounds called boron hydrides, which, as the name suggests, are compounds of boron with hydrogen. They are tricky little beggars. As soon as you expose them to air, they tend to inflame very, very rapidly and burn with a bright green flame. And the guy that did a lot of study of these particular compounds got himself a Nobel Prize. His name was H.C. Brown. And boron compounds are very, very sexy, I guess, in chemistry again. And they also led to another Nobel Prize a few years ago, where their boron compounds are used very much in organic synthesis, making new drugs, etc., etc. So a very, very useful element is boron.
So it didn't make it as a rocket fuel, but, oh, well, you can't do everything, I suppose. Now, surprise me with an interesting fact.
Okay, we're often told at school that the hardest known substance is diamond. And that may or may not be correct. Now, I guess any tradies out there listening will have heard of perhaps boron nitride and boron carbide, which have the formulas BN and BC. And they are put on drill bits and they are almost as hard, apparently, as diamond. And there have been reports about 10 years or so ago of a boron compound actually being about 50% harder than diamond, but that hasn't yet been confirmed.
Well, speaking of drills, we have been drilling down into the periodic table in this episode of Elements, and I almost managed to say that with a straight face. You can find out more at our webpage, rnz.co.nz/chemistry. While you're at RNZ, check out Nights with Brian Crump. He's been running a Sonic Tonic Music Hour every Friday night, dedicated to an element from the periodic table, and he follows that up with a chat with a chemist called Element of the Week. So that's our sister show happening on RNZ at the moment.
You can never have too much chemistry.
No, no, you
Elemental.
Can't.
Elemental is a podcast from RNZ, and it lives in all those usual podcast places. That's it for us this time. We will be back soon, but until then, it's bye from me, Alan Blackman, Auckland University of Technology.
And me, Alison Balance. Kia pai tō rā.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.